Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
So, this is Niklas for Fred Film Radio. I'm here from the 72nd Berlin International Film Festival 2022. And sitting here with Dale Dickey, the actress of A Love Song by Max Walker Silverman that is premiering in the Panorama section of this year's edition. So, allow me to start a simple question in the beginning. Like, how did it happen that you were starring in this indie film, in this feature film debut? How was the communication with Max, and what convinced you to make the film?
I got a lovely, beautiful letter from Max. I didn't know him, kind of out of the blue, talking about he wanted to make films in his home of Colorado, and I related to that, bringing it back and making a film of what you know and where you grew up and showing that landscape. And the letter was just so lovely. He had seen some work of mine and thought I could bring that to Faye, and I read the script and fell in love with it. You know, it's a very simple script. It's very sparse dialogue, but filling in those in-between spaces with quiet is what was challenging for me. And I've said before, I don't usually do lead roles, so this was a little nerve-wracking. I was kind of scared about having my big old crazy face on the screen that much. But I knew I loved the script, and I knew I liked Max's writing and his letter, but when I got there and met everyone and his crew that he'd gone to school with, it was icing on the cake. Smart people, funny, passionate. Max is a terrific director and has a terrific vision, and I trusted him explicitly, implicitly, whatever the word is, to help guide me when I was nervous. And I wanted to tell a story. I felt a kind of huge responsibility. So I was saying one person, when it was well received, I felt this sort of sigh of relief that, oh, I didn't fuck this movie up. I did okay.
Was it the first time that someone wrote you a letter for at least filmmaking?
No, actually, I've gotten a couple of other letters. It's usually from young filmmakers. And I've done a few films over the years with kids right out of film school. And I find, you know, if I'm not working on something else, it's always up and down for me. I never know. But there's so much good writing out there. And these are the young filmmakers of tomorrow. And so I tell my agent, I'm like, look, I know it's not much money, and it's may not see the light of day, but I like the story. And I like to work. And I like to work with young people and learn. It's a chance for me to, you know, to get to play roles I don't get to play in the mainstream. So, yeah, bring them on. And I lucked out with this one.
Yeah, I mean, I also like this idealism somehow of your profession of actress to also work on projects that are maybe from the financial part of view not the most obvious choice.
Yes, right, yeah.
And since I read your filmography, and of course I know your face from so many TV shows like Shameless, Breaking Bad, and whatsoever, and I read you were also in Iron Man 3. I didn't watch that one. But maybe as other people talk about work-life balance, how is your indie blockbuster balance? How do you plan your year? Like, you know what I mean? Like, projects that are maybe more for making money, let's say that.
Do I plan my... You know, I'm kind of one of those actors that's still... You know, I do get some offers now and then, now that I've been here longer, but for the most part, I still have to audition. And I never know what work is coming up. So, yeah, making money is important to be able to survive, particularly living in Los Angeles. So there are times when I've been very blessed that I've had the amount of work I have, but getting some guest star roles throughout the year on TV allows me to still do theater in LA, you know. And then if I get a really good money job, I'm able to save a little bit. And so when a small indie comes up, I'm not terrified that I'm going to lose, you know. It took me years to even save any money. I was like 25 years before I could quit my day job. So I'm not complaining. it's like I have to just take what comes to me, and I let my agents worry about the monies, you know. I still get nervous. It's like I don't have another job right now. When will that come? What's going to happen? But I'm enjoying this. I'm in this beautiful movie and enjoy this time. And the work will come when it does. But, yeah, it's hard. You have to make certain decisions. And I'm because I'm a kind of worker bee actress that I can't really be choosy. It's like I for a time I felt like I had to take everything. I can't turn anything down because it's work. But now as I'm older, particularly on like mainstream television, I might get a script. It's just not interesting to me anymore. It's too formulaic. There's so much more interesting writing, and there's so much streaming now, all of the different networks. But yeah, I don't have to take a job, but sometimes I do, and hopefully it's a job that I love and that I'm interested in. But I always try to do a good job no matter what it is, you know.
That's a very honest answer.
Sorry.
Since you were in this film, I would say someone from not the highest social background, and it's something that often appears in your films, I want to ask you if this is someone that just strikes you, that it's something that you feel important to present.
I think when I did the movie Winter's Bone, and I remember doing a film festival in my hometown in Tennessee, and people in the audience saying, there's not people that live like this in the United States. I'm like, what? Drive up the road to Cock County, honey. They're right there. These are people on the fringe that are not often showed on screen. And unless you're someone that seeks out to learn more about people that aren't like you and goes into other communities and learn how the other half lives, you don't experience that. And the world is full of a lot of different people. And we tend to be so insular in our little bubbles. And to anyone I play that's on the fringe or marginalized or borderline, we're all human beings. We just have different circumstances. And I remember when I first moved to New York, I'd never seen the kind of homeless that I saw when I moved to New York. We didn't have that in Tennessee. And there was one young woman that was like my age, and she looked like she'd never stopped crying. And I thought, there but for the grace of God go I. You know, you just never know your circumstances. So it's important to me, no matter how down and out the person is, to show their humanity and their hope or lack of hope.
I want to, of course, come back to the film itself. What strikes me is this presentation of solitude and longing. Was it something you, like the way you prepared for? Could you say something about that? Like how did you prepare to express that?
Well, it was interesting timing-wise because of COVID, where we were all so separate and isolated. And we were in these little bubbles, and when we were filming, the crew was in two houses, and I was in a house by myself for the first week and a half before Wes came, and then we stayed in the same house. So a lot of alienation going on, you know, which kind of fed that part of Faye, just feeling alone and isolated. But she's so used to that. That's become her life. She's walled herself off from that, to keep from getting hurt. But I definitely relate to that. And in terms of preparing for it, it's always just about rereading and rereading the script over and over again, because what's in between the words, it will guide you to the next one. And it was actually lovely to try to play that without talking, just expressing with my face what I'm feeling. And I'm that wasn't used to doing that. It was very challenging and a little scary, but I really trusted the group around me, and I was very supported, and couldn't have asked for a better crew. You know,
the co-starring with Wes Studi. Did you feel like a connection that you could transport into write the acting? Like, did you feel that you have a also like a shared past in a way?
Yeah, it was. I've said before, Wes and I ended up staying in the same house, but we decided not to talk too much about the characters because we're supposed to be so estranged at this point. Of course, with Max, we did a little talking about our backgrounds, but for the most part, Wes and I just kind of hung out and enjoyed each other's company. You know, it's kind of scary. You meet somebody, are we going to get along? And it was just easy with him. We just had this natural ease, and the music, Wes has helped me with the guitar, and it was really a lovely time. He's such a gentleman, and kind of like, he's played a lot of those rougher roles like I have, and to see him getting to do something different, and it was so sweet and simple, and we laughed a lot when we did the scene where we finally have a kiss, and it was like we both realized, did we just lock lips, lip lock? Because this is the first time I've ever done that on camera. And it was true. It was our first screen kiss, really. Now, I've had another kiss, but it was kind of a weird mother-son kiss, so that doesn't count in a creepy movie. This was to be middle-aged, over middle-aged, and doing a romantic role was, you know, it's unusual.
You never had a kiss scene before?
Not on camera. I've never had a kissing scene on camera. On stage, I have. And that was his first, too. So we were both like kids at that point. It's like we were new to this. And when you see someone you know, you used to have involved, it's just, we just tried to come together, you know, naturally.
And I think in the film, it was also like that you actually didn't kiss so far, right? There was only in the childhood or in the youth, there was this almost moment
yes.
of kissing.
Yeah.
So there was real tension of...
There was a lot of tension. And plus two people that have been alone for a long time. And when you have a connection, whether it lasts for one night or goes on for a long time after, it's connection with another human being, which is really what we need. Everybody needs to feel wanted and loved. It's heartbreaking, it's bittersweet, but it changes Faye's life. You know, she had that one moment, and then she knows what she has to do to move on.
So I think it was a very personal movie for you, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I also felt that it was a kind of a personal interview that I'm really grateful for. And yeah, even though you were tired and
by that. It's so weird when you're so sleepy, it's like all of a sudden my brain is like, okay, I'm talking, and I'm like, whew, what freeway am I on? What did he say? Yeah, it's with lack of sleep. That's the hardest thing about working sometimes, is if I don't get a good night's sleep, your focus, you got to be focused, and that's important.
It's also a festival thing, I suppose.
It's exciting though.
Hopefully not a shooting thing for you.
No, just a festival thing. I just got here yesterday, so I'm a little jet laggy. But I'm so excited. We're so thrilled to be here, to be in Berlin and be part of this distinguished festival. Thank God you guys had it. It's particularly for Max and the kids that are new to festivals. I want them to experience that wonderful community. So it's really great that we were able to come, and you guys have embraced us so much. So danke schön.
Great German. So this was Niklas for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. I was here sitting with Dale Dickey of the film A Love Song by Max Walker Silverman from the 72nd Berlin International Film Festival. You're listening to Fred FM, the Festival Insider. Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.